All right, so this is WRFG Atlanta, and I am Greg Bossen, your host, and welcome to Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting Atlanta's queer community. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and thank you very much for listening. Along with me tonight, co-hosting, we have, he's laughing, I see him laughing here. we have Michael J. Michael is an attorney and a good friend of mine. Say hello, Mike. I want to make sure everybody can hear you.
Greg, thanks for having me back on.
Ah, perfect. That sounds a lot better. So, why are you here, Mike?
You know, it was one of those last-minute calls from my good friend, Greg Bossen.
Mike is gay. He's smart. He's insightful, and he's very good at sounding like he knows what he's talking about, even though much of the time he does not. This is what makes him a good attorney, I suppose.
Thanks.
So how does that sound?
I've heard worse.
All right. A little bit pointed. The microphone pointed to you a little bit more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. So just want to make sure everybody can hear you. So we have a very interesting show tonight, but first, of course, the disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed here at on this show, Alternative Perspectives, are purely those of mine and my guest, and no one else. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of our listeners, staff, board, volunteers, or anyone else involved with WRFG. The opinions are mine and mine alone, but as always, just know that whatever I say is probably the truth. So I would just go with that. Same with Mike. Right, Mike?
Absolutely.
Oh, I can't hear you again. That's odd. Ah, I know why. I probably need to keep your mic on.
You know, I would. And here I was trying to back you up, Greg.
All right. So we have a very interesting show tonight, which is going to raise some eyebrows for sure. But before we do that, let's cover some news affecting the queer community. So first thing I have, we're going to do this every show for a few minutes. I think it's the right thing to do on a queer show. First thing is in Georgia here. A Dalton, Georgia lawmaker filed the first religious freedom bill of this year's legislative session, possibly igniting a fight over the contentious social issue as the nation's eyes turn to Atlanta for Super Bowl 53. State Representative Casey Carpenter, a Republican from Dalton, has filed House Bill 53. It's called the Student and Educator Faith Protection Act. And it would expand the options for students and faculty to more freely express their religious beliefs, which sounds like a good idea. But the problem is if your religious beliefs include proselytizing to people that are gay and being anti-gay, then that becomes a problem. Maggie Garrett, a policy expert on Religious Freedom Acts who works for Americans United for Separation of Church and State, says that this bill is problematic. I think there are specific LGBTQ concerns because when they open a door and say it's free speech, it opens the door to anti-LGBT speech under the guise of religious speech. So we'll look for more on that. That was not good news. A good piece of news, though, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms hit back at the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling allowing President Trump's ban on transgender troops to go into effect. So Bottoms basically tweeted, I guess that's how everybody does things now, right, Mike? Everybody just tweets?
I just did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I thought I heard something. All right. So Bottoms tweeted a statement on Wednesday saying anyone qualified, willing, and able to serve in the military should be able to do so. So it's nice that our mayor is supportive. And I know that those of us in the queer community were a little bit concerned that she might not be back in election time. I think many people were supporting Mary Norwood or Kathy Woolard. Kathy is herself gay. But it turns out old Keisha knows who her constituents are. So that's good to hear. So now for bad news. This is in the outer world. A violent crackdown on LGBT people in the Russian Russian region of Chechnya has resulted in the arrest and torture of dozens of people so far. Advocates, attorneys, and activists say that the Trump administration's assault on the asylum system is complicating efforts to save others from a similar fate. So basically, in the 2 years since the anti-gay purges began in Chechnya, not a single LGBT Chechenian who's asked for asylum has received one in the United States. So not good news there. And then lastly, this is just fun. So there is an organization, or I don't know who puts this together, but it's called the New Now Next's list of the most popular gay bars in America. There are four gay bars from Atlanta that have made this list. Now, in case you're wondering, the data is collected by Gravy Analytics, a location-based marketing platform, tracks mobile data to verify attendance at places and events throughout the United States. So basically, anybody who's posting, hey, I'm here at this bar, they track it. So they tracked attendance at gay bars from November 1, 2017 to October 31, 2018. And we have four Atlanta bars that made the list. Number 47 in their list is Swinging Richards. That is actually America's most gay popular strip club in America. What do you think of that, Mike? I know you're a big fan.
What's this place called? I've not heard of this. Swinging Richards.
No, but honestly, Mike, you're not into that, right?
You know, I it doesn't do it for me.
No.
I've got to know a person's favorite color and, you know, have met their mom and, you know, gone shopping with them and cooked a meal, and then maybe I'll.
Yeah, well, I think you just like it better if you know the person's attracted to you.
Oh, yeah.
That also makes it a little bit better. Of course, those of us that are into feeling bad about ourselves don't need that. but anyway, number three is the Marquette Social Club.
Oh my God, that's still open?
Yeah, I've never heard of it before. But it's been run by the same family for more than four decades. This nightclub is known as much for its talent contests as it is for the DJ spinning everything from hip-hop and pop to reggae and crunk, which I'm not sure what crunk is. I had a case of that a couple of years ago. I went to a dermatologist.
They make a salve for it.
They do make a salve. So anyway, so that that must be a, can I say a black bar? Is that a horrible thing to say?
It's mostly black.
Okay, mostly black. Okay, on Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, which I want to go to. Number 33 is Mix, M-I-X-X, which is over there next to... Well, now it's not Burkhart's. What is it called? Hidden Moon? Midtown Moon. But anyway, that's number 33. And number four, so they got really high up there, is Bulldogs, which is that bar is 40 years old.
Wow.
So I don't know if this is if this is really a list of the most popular bars in Atlanta or a list of the most of the bars where people like to go on social media and say they're there, basically. So... Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
All right. See you later. All right. That was Sharon leaving. She likes to check on me. All right. So tonight's show is about how we in the queer community label ourselves, specifically our use of the letters. So it started as just LGBT, but over the past few years, as additional groups have emerged wishing to be included under our rainbow tent, but they don't necessarily identify as LGBT, other letters have emerged. So I did some looking, and this is kind of interesting. There's an LGBTQIAA+. There's an LGBTTIQQ2SA. And then, and this is the longest one I could find, it's an LGBTTQQFAGPBDSMNC2SAP. Now... which, in case you're wondering, lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender, transsexual, questioning, queer, flexual, not sure about that, asexual, gender F, something I can't say on the line, polyamorous, Bondage, disciple, dominant submission, sadism, masochism, nonconforming, two-spirit, which refers to a person who identifies as having both a masculine and a feminine spirit, which I think is me, ally, and pansexual, which, by the way, just in case you're wondering, pansexual, well, as opposed to bisexual. Bisexual means you're attracted to both men and women. Pansexual recognizes that there are people that don't identify as men or women. And so if I am someone who's attracted to all genders, doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or consider yourself gender fluid, then I guess I'm a pansexual. So there are, but anyway, obviously this is a lot of letters. In addition to the difficulties of using this alphabet soup in everyday speech, there are those who have raised the possibility that the use of all these letters, although well-intentioned, a well-intentioned attempt at inclusion, is really a problem. And it's part of a larger use of identity politics that's used by the left that is alienating our straight community in ways that ultimately make it more difficult for us to fight for equal rights. So in this month's issue of The Atlantic, Jonathan Rauch wrote an article making just this case and suggesting that we drop all the letters and instead use just Q. The article is titled, "It's Time to Drop the LGBT from LGBTQ+. This article has sparked quite a firestorm. It came out in The Atlantic magazine, the January-February issue, so it came out last month, and it sparked quite a firestorm throughout the queer community, with all kinds of people accusing Rauch of being insensitive to the queer community. An article even appeared in The Advocate accusing Rauch of trying to weaponize the LGBTQ term and suggested that Rauch was doing this just so that he could get published. So we have Jonathan Rauch, who will be calling in momentarily, and we'll be able to talk to him about this. Ah, and I think we have him right here. So hold on 1 second, and we will get to him in 1 moment. All right, and we are back. And we have Jonathan Rauch on the line, and I want to make sure, Jonathan, that you can hear us and that we can hear you. So if you're here, say hello.
Yeah, hey, Greg.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And let me just tell you a little bit about Jonathan Rauch. Jonathan, by the way, I did a little bit of an intro here, but I will tell them a little bit about who you are. But I talked about the article. We have Jonathan Rauch here. He is an American author, journalist, and activist. Graduated from Yale University, Rauch worked at the Winston-Salem Journal in North Carolina. He's worked for the National Journal, The Economist. He's also a freelance writer, and he's written a number of books, by the way, which I have a couple of those listed here. His books include Happiness Curve, Why Life Gets Better After Midlife, which, Jonathan, I'm very glad to hear that, by the way. And Gay Marriage, Why Is It Good for Gays, Good for Straights, and Good for America? Government's End, Why Washington Stopped Working. So, and there are others as well. But currently, he is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and is a contributing editor of The Atlantic. And that's what we wanted to talk about today, is the article. So, and I've got my friend Michael Jay here is going to be on the call with me, questioning and talking.
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for taking the time to be on with us tonight.
Hi, Michael.
All right. Yeah, you'll find him. He's a very nice person. So, all right. So thank you so much for coming on the show. So the first thing I wanted to do, just to kind of set the stage in, and I could do this myself, but I thought that you were probably in a better position to do it. If you could just give us a little short history of how the letters started, like kind of the history of the letters and how that came to be.
Well, back in the day, gay people and lesbian people were called homosexuals or terms that were significantly less friendly than that, but that came to seem very critical. It's a word I'm comfortable with, but it came to seem critical in defining us as kind of sick. And we became known as gay, which is a word that actually goes back for hundreds of years to describe us, and that's a great word. But we also needed a distinction for the female homosexual or gay community. So we began using the phrase gay and lesbian starting in the 80s or so. That became common. And then the movement began to expand as other sexual minorities came forward, bisexuality and trans and then others. And the convention became to list them as a series of initials. Today, the most standard form seems to be LGBTQ. Not entirely clear whether the Q stands for queer or questioning. There seems to be a disagreement about that. And sometimes there are longer concatenations like LGBTQIAA+ and other things of that sort.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell you, Jonathan, I've come across this myself because this is in this show, which is it's a queer radio hour. I began by calling it an LGBTQ, and then there's this desire to include everybody. So, but the letters are endless. So I ended up opting for queer, which is funny when I happened upon the article, because it feels like not necessarily queer, but it feels like what you ended up with too, at least one letter. Thank you for that. And then I guess what I want you to do for the listeners and those that haven't read the article is just kind of make the case for why the letters are something that you feel like we should drop.
For a couple of reasons, I feel like this ever-growing, unstable concatenation of LGBTQIA+ and its variants has become a hindrance to what we're trying to accomplish in America. I never really loved it, because I've always felt that we should not be defining ourselves by the particularities of our sexual orientations or preferences or differences or whatever they wind up be calling. We should be defining ourselves in a unifying way as people, all kinds of different people, very diverse people who stand together on principles of equality. And that's, equality is not a sexual orientation, it's a principle. So I never loved LGBTQ. I got used to it, as a lot of people did, until 2016, when I began to feel that what we were accidentally doing with the game of identity politics and the notion that every individual group has to be specifically called out in America and distinguished from, you know, the majority population, or cisgender, white male, or whatever, as well as from each other. But this was empowering the wrong kind of people. This is telling a story about we're groups. We're all separate little groups. And when we instead should be telling a story about we're all Americans, the unifying story about the values that we're pursuing, being equality for all Americans, gay or straight or white or black. So I thought we had, through the back door, come to accept a divisive story and empowering people like Stephen Bannon and, through him, Donald Trump. I think it's also become awkward and clumsy. It's not really reasonable to expect people to say things like LGBTQIAA+. So I said in an Atlantic essay, look, let's just cut it out. Let's just call ourselves Q. And I said Q just because it can stand for queer or it can stand for questioning, but it doesn't have to stand for anything. Let's just choose it as a designation for sexual and gender minorities. Or, better yet, let's just choose it as a designation for people who believe in equality regardless of gender or sexuality. And then other people chimed in after I published my article. Someone said on this talk radio show, had what I thought was an inspired idea. They said, how about W for welcoming?
Oh, wow.
Which kind of, yeah, isn't that cool? It kind of really gets at what we're going for here, which is, let's not try to call out every possible variant of the human species. Let's define ourselves by what we actually have in common, which is the commitment to welcoming equality for all Americans. That's a much more positive and ennobling vision, and it unites us with the rest of the country instead of dividing us from it.
Yeah, I think that's well said. What I want to do now is I want to kind of make the argument for, because I know that you got you know, kind of lambasted by certain segments of the gay community. And I wondered about that. So, you know, I've talked to some people and done a little bit of reading, and from what I can tell, I think the issue that is taken has to do with, I think there is a different problem that, or a different issue that these letters are solving for, in addition to trying to gain equality. These groups, for instance, a transgendered person or someone who doesn't want to identify as a male or a female, these people, have felt invisible and, have been looking for a place where they can stand and say who they are and stay and say their, have an identity and also, and to have a group that can support them. So since all of these letters really have to do with sexuality and gender in one way or another, it seemed like these people, it made sense for them to come under this umbrella, this rainbow umbrella. And so I feel like a lot of the anger that you got has to do with the fact, well, you know, I'm transgendered. These letters don't speak to me. And by the way, I'm invisible. And I've never really been able to stand and speak my truth. And by taking the space to put a letter in and to call me out and who I am by name, it's like a healing experience for those people. So, and you can see that that's kind of very different from trying to solve for getting equality. You know, one of the things in the article that struck me was, and it wasn't you that had said this, but it was, you had quoted, in the article, a gentleman by the name of Mark Lilla, I guess is his name, who wrote in agreeing with you that older movements like Martin Luther King's civil rights movement emphasized equal rights for all. Wasn't called the Black Civil Rights Movement. It was just called the Civil Rights Movement. But, you know, kind of superimposing my theory as to why certain people are upset is, you know, an African-American, I mean, I guess you could argue they felt invisible as well, but everybody knows this is a Black person. It's not as if that they were struggling to feel visible. So maybe it wasn't as necessary. So I don't know. I just throw that out there. Tell me what your thoughts are on that. I'm just, you know, just talking. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a valid way to think about it. And it's kind of the way I thought about it until 2016. Although I wasn't really happy with the identity politics kind of call out culture of every group has to be named, I felt that it was deserved some sensitivity, and that there was a case and is a case to be made for public identification in a specific way. But a few things happened. One is that the world changed. I think it's much clearer now than it was then that identity politics is harming progressives and actually creating a lot of resentment. In a way that the original civil rights values of both what I called it, the Q movement, and the African American civil rights movement and first wave and even second wave feminism did not. They were all about the unifying value of treat all Americans equally. It's the promise of the Declaration of Independence. And they weren't saying treat all groups, individually, call them out individually. And it turned out their way of doing things was more uplifting, more positive, more unifying, and politically much more sustainable. So that's the first thing. The idea of naming every group started to have a cost. Here's the second thing. This acronym is pretty clumsy. It's unstable. People can't seem to agree what's in it or even what it actually stands for. And it kind of wipes out individualism because there are no LGBTQ individuals. It's a political coalition. So the way I think of it is when I describe myself or when people describe me, I refer to myself as gay. And they refer to myself as gay. And I'm perfectly comfortable with that. the question is only, what do we use to signify the broad constellation of Americans? You know, when we're talking about the whole group of sexual minorities, so no one's saying you're erasing transgender people as if somehow not specifically using the letter T would erase a human being. All you're saying is that when we talk about everybody, let's just use a simple inclusive term. It's not going to stop or change transgender people from talking about themselves as transgender, lesbians from saying lesbian, queer from queer, gay from gay, and so on. It's just saying, let's stop trying to call out, to name check each and every possible variation. It's out of hand and it's counterproductive.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah, Jonathan, this is Mike. Your article was a point of some great conversation today with some of my colleagues, and that's how I know it's a good article. It sparked some great debate. When we were talking, it boiled down to one question, though. Well, we understand Q, but why not use just the word gay? Now, the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, that has a connotation to it. That gay is usually associated with the male homosexual. Can we get past that, though, and use a term which I'd imagine that in other countries and even in our culture, it has been broadened to include all people that would fit into any one of the designations in an LGBTQ plus society. What are your thoughts? Did you wrestle with, as you were writing this paper, whether to use just the term gay and desexualize it in terms of its history being oriented toward a male? Or was it more abundantly clear that you should use something Q, which never had a sexual designation to it?
Kind of why it chose Q is that it doesn't carry baggage. It's not presumed to be one thing or another, and people could say they're comfortable with queer. They could say it stands for queer, but if they're not comfortable with that, it doesn't need to stand for anything. It could just be Q. You could pick another letter, you know, Z. I wouldn't care. What you're talking about, Mike, is where we started from. The greatest of gay rights advocates of my lifetime and before was Frank Kameny, who died in 2011 and never accepted the term LGBTQ or any of its variants. His view was that gay was just fine, and that's where we started with. Back in the day, gay just meant pretty much gay and lesbian. We didn't, you know, really have these other categories in the 50s and 60s in public discourse. Of course, they existed as people. So Frank would have said, look, gay is fine. Let's just do that. My feeling is that gay has become gendered, and you and I don't have to like that, but that's the situation. And so some people talking about lesbians as gay or transgender people as gay, that will offend those people, and they'll have a point. And plus, I think we kind of want to make a statement here. We want to say, you know what? We're going with something that everyone can agree is not particularistic. So, you know, me personally, I don't really care what the designation is as long as it's simple and inclusive and not demeaning or discriminatory. The question is, what would that be?
Yeah, I liked, and I had a show, not a show on this, but I talked to another on a show about this a few months ago, about what term to use to describe like the overarching community. And one of the reasons why I liked queer is because queer ultimately means something that's unusual, I guess, out of the norm. And so it felt like it made sense and kind of included everybody. But I mean, I'm sure Mike, you would agree queer, you know,
sure. It really is. And Jonathan, you might want to speak to this, but everybody is coming from a different fixed point of reference, and words are powerful. Designations are powerful. They carry strength with them. Queer to someone a generation before me would have a completely different meaning and feel than for me personally and for others in my generation. Jonathan, you touched on something that I found very interesting. You mentioned, the designation Q has the power to unify, but do we lose something in the ambiguity? At least with an LGBT, it's a little bit more specific. Is there some danger in isolating by using something so broad that it might be easier for those on the outside but harder for those on the inside, someone who may just be gay, bisexual, that doesn't want to be part of this, grander, broad term?
I'd say the opposite, actually. I'd say that what something like Q would do, or W, whatever it turns out to be, would do is be more specific and accurate about what really unites us. Ultimately, it's not really that important, I think, in what specific way we identify in terms of gender and sexuality. It's obviously important to us as individuals, but I think the important principle that we're going for here is to judge us all as individuals and to ensure equality and non-discrimination for us all. And that's a concept, not a sexuality. Mm-hmm. And to me, I would want a phrase that could indicate that concept.
Yeah,
something like LGBTQ doesn't even do a good job of what it's supposed to do, which is name-checking everybody, because people can't even agree on what Q means.
Well, that's why
I publish this article, and people go, I said it usually it means queer in the article, and then people write and say, no, it means questioning.
Sure.
Well, so people don't even know what they're talking about with this designation.
Right.
That's interesting,
you can
Jonathan.
Never name everyone.
What is your definition? If you had to give a definition for Q, what would that be?
It would be people who believe that gender and sexual orientation should not in any way determine rights or treatment in America.
That's great, but that would open up something to people who were not traditionally part of an LGBTQ+ designation previously, and that could be people that have that I guess fit into the more mainstream in terms of sexual orientation.
Well,
right?
I mean, we already have ally. That's sure. An A, and I don't know that there's anything. I think that's probably Jonathan. You'd probably say that was a good thing. That's the problem
that's feature,
he's trying to.
That's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's trying
what
to solve
try
for.
To
yeah.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, and of course, I've figured this out. Jonathan and Mike, I've got this all figured out. I think the deal is that there are people in our community that, like, again, I go to a transgendered person who, you know, I don't pretend to know anything about what it's like to be transgendered. And I don't think a transgendered person, many of them didn't feel comfortable as part of our community. They didn't really relate in a way. I'm transgendered, but I'm not gay. I'm not lesbian. I'm not bisexual. It's about my gender preference. It's not about my sexual preference. And so these people need to feel included in our community. So I think that there needs to be work done there. But I don't think that as the way we present ourselves to the broader society, I don't think that's where that work needs to take place.
That broader society, though, wouldn't that become part of us if Q really does
it,
mean...
It would.
Yeah.
It would, which is fine. But what I'm saying is right now we have people that are not really feeling like they're being represented in the traditional gay community or the traditional queer community. That issue needs to be addressed. Putting another letter on the end of this doesn't address that issue, and it also it contributes to a problem with identity politics that Jonathan is speaking to.
Jonathan, is Q another term or another word for tolerant?
Well, tolerance sounds like putting up with people. You know, they're here, I guess, you know, we'll have to grudgingly give them their rights. So,
right.
I would put it in a more positive way. I like the idea of using W for welcoming. Mm. That, to me, kind of suggests what we're really talking about, which is agreeing on an America which welcomes people and treats them as equal and full citizens, regardless of gender, sexual orientation.
Does it stop at gender and sexual orientation? Could this expand?
Of course not.
You know, that's what I'd like for you to talk to a little bit, because I like the idea of this, the W or Q, expanding to just a decent person who, regardless of sexual orientation, gender, immigration status, for example. Can you speak a little to that?
Well, I think in real life, the people who are going to use a designation like Q, because of the context in which it will be used, will be primarily sexual and gender minorities. I really doubt that many African Americans or Latinos and so forth would want to use it. That said, I mean, it's kind of weird to imagine, but to me, the notion here is if someone wants to characterize themselves as an ally and as a member of this coalition for equality and justice, sure.
Yeah, I think that I don't know. I think that this is a great idea. The more I think about it, and again, I do think that there's a real problem in the traditional gay community with some of these subsets that don't feel included. But and in terms of like Q versus W, Jonathan, W does sound better, but we're probably going to need to go with Q as a practical matter, I think, only because W is just out of nowhere. Q's been around.
Yeah.
And in a way, we can kind
Q
of...
Q has a little bit of history.
Yeah, and in a way, we can kind of... I don't know what the term is, but we can take it back and use it in the same way that African Americans, some of them argue about taking the N-word back. I don't know, what is that term I'm using for? When you take a word back and make it your own that somebody's been using against you?
Reappropriating?
Sure. Maybe reappropriating.
I don't know.
Jonathan, you're a writer. You should know that. No. But anyway, so I wonder how that might work then. It feels like it's almost like a cause that a nonprofit of some sort would need to take up, I guess. So what's next for you, John? Well, first of all, is there anything else you just want the listeners to know or anything that you want to say? And then also just to kind of finish up, you know, what's next for you, as it relates to this issue? Do you have any plans to do any more writing or, I don't know what your plans are in the future as it relates to this.
My plan on this is having debuted the idea. I'm planning to just start using Q. It's going to start appearing in my talking, my writing. People will be puzzled at first, but I think they'll catch on really quick. And then my plan is once I start using this term, the entire rest of the world will follow suit. So Cool. That seems like a pretty good plan to me. we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's part of the reason I'm here on this program is just to get people thinking and talking, and you never know.
Yes. Well, thank you very, very much. For those of you that have been listening, you're listening to WRFG Atlanta. This is Alternative Perspectives. And we are talking to, or we have been talking to Jonathan Rauch about his article in The Atlantic. Thank you so much. Mike, do you have anything else?
No, thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate you talking with us tonight.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here, and thank you both for a great conversation.
Sure. I'm sorry that you went through. I understand you got a lot of heat on Twitter after this article, but it sounds like you probably have dealt with that kind of stuff before. So,
dude, I started promoting same-sex marriage in 1995. Back when it was the craziest idea ever, and my own father said, please don't write about that. You'll destroy your reputation because this is such a crazy, weird idea. So believe me, this is nothing compared to that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do when we promote a new idea. As H.L. Mencken much said, every important new idea was greeted in the world as if it were a wave of smallpox.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Well, Jonathan, I'm going to be looking forward to your next piece.
Yeah, definite. Thank you so much, and I reserve the right to ask you to come on again at some point.
All right, I'd love to.
All right, take care. Great speaking to you. And that was Jonathan Rauch. And that was quite interesting. What do you think, Mike?
You know, that's what a good guest. You know, words and designations mean a lot in our society. And anything that sparks a conversation that's going to take us into the next era, I think is great. You know, and I like the fact that, you know, if he didn't get any pushback on this, it wouldn't have been well written, or it wouldn't have been a pertinent piece. The fact that he's getting some, you know, a lot of feedback, some of it negative.
Yeah.
If you're looking at your Twitter account, a lot of it negative. It just shows that this is something that touches a nerve.
Yeah.
What do we call ourselves? That's something that's special and could be very personal.
Yeah.
How we designate ourselves.
Yeah.
Terms we use to identify.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm going with queer, at least at the present. But anyway, hold on 1 second. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back to finish up. You are listening to WRFG Atlanta.
WRFG family, this is Dazon, producer and host of Sisters Time. We've suffered a great loss to our WRFG family, Grace Lennox, who made her untimely transition on December 30th. Grace was a newer airshifter, and she made a lasting impression on all who knew her. She was a cultural navigator, and my Spellman sister. Grace was the producer and host of Africana Power from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on WRFG as part of the 2 hours of Women's Power from 6 to 8 on Thursday nights. She often sat in for me on Sisters Time and was the power for those 2 hours on many occasions. Family and friends will hold a celebration of her life on Thursday, January 31st, from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. downstairs in the cafe at the Little Five Point Center for Arts and Community, 1083 Austin Avenue, Northeast. From 6 to 8 p.m., during the two-hour period that her program aired, we will invite people to go into the studio and share a memory of Grace. If you want to participate in the gathering, or online, or the on-air tribute, you are welcome. WRFG.org, or the number is 404-523-8989. That number is 404-523-8989. Like most, if not all of you, we will miss Grace's smile, her sharp intellect, her cautious wit, and deep sense of culture. I will most especially miss seeing her every week, or at least hearing her whenever I could.
Heavenly far from home.
And we are back. All right. So, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was a good guest. That was a good article.
I think that the takeaway for me is, first of all, that I don't know. I just think the kickback that he got from that, from those in some of the other communities, transgendered, people that are gender fluid, pansexuals, transvestites, I guess. I don't know. Transvestites dress in the other sex's clothes. Is that right?
Yeah, that's as far as I know. Yeah.
I think you're an expert on that, right?
You know.
All right.
I do what I can.
Yeah. But there needs to be some, we need to address the issue, because I think a lot of people in the traditional gay community maybe make fun of, turn their noses up at people that are.
Well, Greg, what is the benefit to using, if you are pansexual, what is the benefit to you of using Q rather than saying I'm pansexual? You know, if you're bisexual, what is the benefit of saying Q? It seems so general. We try and be as specific as we can when we talk, right? So if I walked in here today and I introduced myself as a Q individual, well, that could mean a myriad of things. You know, we just heard a litany of designations, Greg. You know, shouldn't we be aspiring to be very, you know, more specific?
Well, I like the idea of inclusion, but again, I think what he's referring to, and I tend to agree, is there's something that is helpful in coming up with a one word or one letter designation to define who we are as it relates to our movement. But for equal rights,
does it it expands the movement? You don't need to fit into one of the particular designations to be Q, right?
That's the case now with LGBTQ, because there's an A, which is for ally, and so there's already been a move by the gay community by adding the letter to allow for people that don't identify as gay or lesbian or any of the other letters. They're straight. Cisgender, as they call them, but as we call them anyway, but those people can be part of our movement. So I think there's already a move to do that.
Yeah. I mean, to have a term though, Greg, shouldn't there be a definition and a box? You know, why have a definition if it's going to, be all inclusive? Anybody could be a part of it. You know, shouldn't there be parameters? You know, where do we stop? You know, does it stop with people that have a particular sexual proclivity? Should it stop with sexual orientation? Where does it actually stop? Is it overly broad to just use Q or W? Isn't it another way of saying, just an accepting person?
Well, I think, though, that it's because traditionally it's been used as it relates to sexuality. I think it's we're talking about when we use a term like Q or W, we're talking about the idea that we feel that people, regardless of their gender identity or their sexuality or sexual preferences, those people should be treated equally, should be treated with the same rights as everybody else in society. And so I think that queer, it's not, I don't think it's necessarily too broad. I don't think it's just, everybody should have rights. It's not that general. I do think that there's some specificity there. But you do bring up something that I've always, I've kind of wondered about, and that is what is the, lesbian and gay have to do with sexuality. And so when they decided, or whoever it was decided to use transgender, then it was like, well, how does that relate to sexuality? And it doesn't really.
Oh, sure. I see what you're saying. You could be transgender gay or transgender heterosexual. I get that.
Right.
So it's expanded something further than someone's sexual orientation.
Yeah. And so I guess what I was thinking, or what I've been thinking about, is so why is it that somebody that identifies as a gender other than what they were given at birth, what does that person have in common with somebody who is attracted to people of the same sex? And so what I've come up with is that ultimately what we're talking about is gender roles. Society has these very rigid rules around gender roles. One of those rules is that if you're born with a penis, then you are a man. And that means, and then there's a long list of things. You're supposed to like blue instead of pink. You're supposed to play sports instead of with dolls. You're supposed to like women instead of men. And you're supposed to identify as a man. So if you have a penis and you like men, well, you've screwed up. You're in opposition to our gender construct. Well, if you have a penis and you don't want a penis and you want to wear dresses and you feel like a woman, well, you've gone against society's gender and really God's decision. So I think ultimately,
so people would argue, right?
Yeah. So I think it comes down to gender roles. I think that's really what we're trying to deconstruct his gender roles?
In the end, it comes down to, you know, with normalization, you wouldn't need a term, right?
Mm-hmm.
As things become more normalized and integrated into our culture, we don't need a term to explain it.
Right.
I mean, that's the goal. We're nowhere near that now. So, of course, you know, having a designation is important. But, boy, you know, wouldn't it be great if we got to the place where it was just Pete or Jenny rather
right.
than, you know, a Q individual or, you know, transgender.
Well, and that's some of the what the right sometimes uses as an argument for why we shouldn't be asking for any of these things. It's like, you know, well, you know, aren't we all just the same? So, you know, why should we be like Black Lives Matter? Why all lives matter? It shouldn't be Black Lives Matter. Well, in a perfect world, that's right. But we have this group of the population that is really having a problem these days and getting killed by police at exorbitantly high rates. And so we're going to focus on that right now. You know, I think we talked about this, and it was like, if you go to a doctor, you say, well, my knee hurts. It's like, well, let's take a look at the entire body. I mean, it's really all about your whole body that we really need to be paying attention to. And it's like, well, you know, because your arm isn't any less important than your knee. It's like, well, I appreciate that, but my knee's the thing that has the problem right now. So
sure,
we need to focus on that.
What's in a name, Greg? You know, would a gay by any other name smell so fabulous? Is that-
I do not know what that means, but I do like smells. But we'll go get into that. That's a different
show.
That's a different show altogether. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael. And I thought this went well. Up next, we have, and let me just check and see, because I always get this wrong. Americana Pie is what we have next. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to attempt to take you out with some music. I've tried 3 times, and 3 times it's not worked. So, but I will try it again and see what the problem is. And while I'm doing that, I will tell you how much I love you and how much I care about you and how much I appreciate you listening to me right now.
Greg, give it up. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen. I promise it's going to happen.
You may have to sing.
Wait a second. This is. I think I see what the problem is. It's all very upsetting. That's what the problem is. So, anyway, all right. Well, then, I guess maybe I won't be doing anything.
I see. You got to close out Grindr before you hit the music.
I don't know what Grindr is. I don't know what you're talking about. This seems like music. Let's see. Can I get music playing on this show? I'll probably get in trouble for this. All right. I am logging in to a different sort of a situation.
I feel like as your guest, I should be saying something.
You really should.
Around.
You really should. You really should. But I don't think it's going to happen. So what I'm going to do is carry us out with our mission statement, because it is the hour, and then we'll turn it over to Americana Pie. All right, well, that's what we're going to do. Thank you, Mike. Next week, please turn into Alternative Perspectives at 7. We have Jeff Graham from the Equality Project, and he'll be going over what's happening in the Georgia legislature that is going to affect our community. Thank you again for listening. And again, up next, Americana Pie.